In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us in so many ways. We're fortunate to live in your blessing, most especially as a parish community, and the blessing that Catechism of Good Shepherd has bestowed upon us, most especially for the formation of those who are nearest and dearest to your heart, the smallest in your kingdom, the children of our parish. We ask that you continue to bless us, to bless the growth that we are so grateful to receive, and to bless the children that you entrust to our care, and to be always mindful of those who sacrifice much, for those who make Catechism the Good Shepherd possible in our parish. Special blessing upon the leadership and the catechists and all the good work that they do, and how much is being done that only you know about, and because of that, the benefits and the graces that flow to us. We are grateful for the fact that we come together as a parish family, and for the beautiful day, and for all that you so freely give to us in so many ways. And we ask that you watch over and protect us, and to wrap us in the mantle of your love in all things through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So welcome, everyone. It's good to see you. Most of you are recognizable. Good that you are taking an interest in the Catechism of the Good Shepherd. We're here today with Father Andy Walsh and Father Clay Kimbrough, who are going to share a bit with us. So I'm just going to step back and let them share their wit and their wisdom. I do have a cute little story. I'll do this. I think it's cute. This past week, brother and his wife were in town, and they had all their kids together. It was my sister-in-law's 60th birthday, and my niece, who teaches at Maglin, is moving on. Her husband is in the Air Force, and he's been transferred, so everybody came together. So my nephew, my great-nephew, his name is Dominic, and Dominic is speaking truthfully here, Dominic needs an ugly stick to hit him. He's a very fine-looking young man and very clever. And so he came up to me. He said, "Father Pat," he said, "What is it called when a priest does this?" Okay, now he's 4 years old. What is it called when a priest does this? I said, "Well, what do you mean? What is that called?" "Well, what is that called in Mass when a priest does this?" He's quizzing me. And I said, "Dominic, is that called the epiclesis?" And he went, "Yes, it is."
Wow.
And I said, "Well, where did you learn that?" He says, "Catechism of the Good Shepherd at Magdalen."
That's awesome.
So, for a four-year-old to have that kind of, I didn't know what that word was until I got to seminary formation. And, it's one of the mysteries of our faith. The Holy Spirit comes down upon the gifts. Begins the process of transubstantiation. It's an integral part of Mass. The Mass is not valid without it. But the fact that a four-year-old was aware of that is a testimony to the Catechism of the Good Shepherd. But however, that's not only my nephew, who I think is above average, but it's also, the children of our parish. They know that also. Last year, I was walking around and looking in classes, and they were able also to articulate the same thing. It's just amazing, if these young people can really connect their head to their heart when it comes to their faith, and know what we do and why we do what we do and what we celebrate and why we celebrate, and how important that is to the integral part life and health of our parish community. So Catechism of the Good Shepherd is a blessing beyond compare, and I think we're very fortunate to have an outstanding program here. So, with that in mind, and always with a lot of admiration and anticipation, and probably a little bit of fear and trepidation, I'd like to bring up Father Andy Walsh. Or is it Clay? Were you first? Who was first? Father Andy Walsh. So Father Andy is the pastor of St. Patrick's of Kingman, and he is the, what are you besides pastor of Kingman? You are the chaplain for the Heartland region of Catechism of the Good Shepherd. Right?
That's it.
Okay, Father Andy, they're all yours.
Thank you. And
I'm the appetizer, and Father Clay's the main course here tonight, so you can look forward to that. And I know we want to make the best use of your time tonight, so I won't be speaking too long. Maybe you've heard the story about the time when there was a huge snowstorm, and the priest started Mass, and there was only one person in the church, and it was a farmer, and the farmer was there. And when the priest went to give his homily, like usual, he gave a very long-winded one. And at the end of Mass, he went up to the priest, and the farmer were talking. And he's like, "Thank you for coming." And the farmer says to him, "You know, Father, if I go out to the field and I'm going to feed the cattle, if only one shows up, I don't dump the whole load of hay." And so I'm not going to dump the whole load here. Tonight, we're just going to give you a taste. And I don't know if there's time for questions, but if you have some questions, feel free to ask those, and maybe we can address those. So I first learned about Catechesis of the Good Shepherd in seminary about 12 years ago from one of the priests who was a professor there. He said, "This is a great program," and I just put that in the back of my mind. Then I became a priest and went to my first couple of assignments. And there I was introduced to CGS in a parish setting, and also to what it was like. Sarah Carter was influential in that when I was at my time at St. Francis. So then I got out to Kingman, which, if you don't know, it's west of here. And when I got there, we have a school, pre-K through 8. But we had some students that go to public school and some that are homeschooled. And so our religious education program was kind of poor. There was about 7 kids in it or so. And so I was like, we got to do something. So I called up somebody at the diocese and said, "What should I do?" He said, "Well, you want to know what I would do?" And I said, "Yes, I would love to know what you would do." He said, "I would just start over and put Catechesis of the Good Shepherd in." And I said, "That sounds like a great plan." And so that was 6 years ago. And it's been an amazing blessing, which I might tell you a little bit more about at the end. But 2 years ago, the diocese contacted me to tell me that our numbers of PSR children went up 614% to 50 from 7, which is, it's not, you know, out of this world, but it was a good deal. And so it's been a real great blessing for our parish. We have in the PSR program, we have all 3 levels, from level 1, which is 3 to 6, and level 2, 6 to 9. I'm going to say this wrong. There's like 45 catechists here that can correct me if I say something wrong. And then 9 to 12, which is level 3. And in our school as well, we really emphasize Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. We've done 4 or so sacramental retreats plus a confirmation retreat. So we've done quite a bit, and it's been a great blessing. And it was all no thanks to me. So I am very happy that like this all came about, that there were certain people in my life that pointed us in this direction, and obviously the Holy Spirit guiding us throughout this. So where does Catechesis of the Good Shepherd come from? Well, in the past 100 years, the church has kind of been looking for the best way to hand on the faith, and that's what we call catechesis. And it's gone through several different phases. No, many of you in here probably learned with the old Baltimore Catechism, which is an excellent resource. You know, learning lots of very helpful things, committing those to memory, and many people benefited greatly from that. But the challenge is that sometimes these little pieces of information in our head might not affect our heart. And so after a while, they said, well, maybe we should look for something different. And then that something different looked like, you know, let's color pages and sing songs and what some people call like balloon and banners Catholicism. My first communion picture, I'm receiving first communion, and in the background there's silver and white balloons, which is pretty amazing. No, if you guys do that here, no offense. So there was a phase in which there was a search for like trying to find the relevant content to give to children. But I think it was 1954 when Catechesis of the Good Shepherd started by two women, Giada Gobbi and Sophia Cavalletti, in Italy, in Rome specifically, and then it's kind of expanded for a long time, all the way here to, you know, the U.S. and all around the world. And it, most recently in 2020, the church gave something called the Directory of Catechesis, which is the latest and greatest updated, like, this is what we desire for, depending on the faith, and that it's especially what we call charismatic. It means it proclaims the gospel. It is evangelistic. It offers the gospel to children. And so it said that there's three things that are important: content, methodology, and the child. Or the fancier words, theology, methodology, there you go, and anthropology. So, and that catechesis of the Good Shepherd is a great way of integrating all three of these. And one thing that it does really well is it gives proper time and the environment for things to grow in a child's heart. So you know that we live in a very fast world. You can get on a plane and 15 hours later you could be in Rome. You know, you can call up people all around the world. You don't have to wait for web pages to load anymore. And you don't even have to wait till you get to a computer, because you can just do it in your pocket. And so we have this sense that everything should be fast. But you know, everything's not fast. Something that's not fast is farming, okay, right? Think about it. In the fall, you have this field, and you get out the planter, and you drill the wheat into the ground, and then it springs up, and over the winter, it just rests there, and then hopefully it rains, and then it starts to grow, right? And it comes to full maturity, and you harvest it. And it, this is a process that cannot be sped up. It can't be slowed down either, really. There's not much they can do either way. And the same thing with the human person, right? We have these natural patterns of growth that we can't accelerate much as we'd like to. You know, if we could get a child and say, let me teach you everything you need to know. I'll read to you the catechism. Well, it's not going to be that effective, because they need time. That's what Catechesis of the Good Shepherd allows. It allows them to take the message of the scripture and of the teaching of the church, and to really allow them to grow in their lives. So I'm sure most of you know about Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, but especially the foundational one is the teaching about Jesus the Good Shepherd. That Jesus, and there's a little diorama or whatever they're called, figures, and the Good Shepherd, the little sheep, and they read the Bible and they say, I'm the Good Shepherd, I lead my sheep. I call them by name. And they ask that question, you know, who are the sheep? And then you wait, you're like, don't tell them, it's us, you know, the sheep are us. You wait till they make that understanding themselves and put it together, because when they do that, then it holds really deep in their hearts. The woman that's in charge for the United States, she told a story about one time this girl was in Catechesis of the Good Shepherd when she was little, and then, you know, 20 years later, she was off and her life is a complete wreck. But at some moment, she realized, Jesus loves me, and he's my shepherd, and I'm one of his sheep. And that, you know, gave her that lifeline. And that's something that, you know, no one can take away from those once you've had that deeply. And it's even affected me, too. Last year, I had a priest over at my parish, and we went to the atrium, and he pulled out this box. And I'm going to admit this, I never opened the boxes, okay, until last summer. So I don't know why I'm the chaplain, but anyway. So he opens the box, and it's the parable of the pearl of great price, okay? So there's this, you know, the scripture passage, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. And so here is this guy, and there's two little baskets of pearls, and it says, and then there's one other pearl, and anyway, the priest says, look at this, he traded all those pearls for that one pearl. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I've just never, that it is one verse in the scriptures, you know, that Jesus tells. But if you could just read, if it's at Mass, it's in the midst of like 16 other passage or verses, and then but to like sit with it and say, yes, the kingdom of heaven is worth selling everything for, and receiving so much more. So it's been very good. I have a little picture of myself as a 6-year-old that I took off an art project that my mom saved for me, and I look at that and I think, you know, at 6, what would I have needed, or what could I have benefited from if I was going back again? I regret nothing of my formation, but like, could this have been beneficial for my life, my spiritual growth, and all these things? I think the answer is most assuredly, yes, it could. So I'll just end with a couple more things. First of all, I brought one of my students, she gave this to me the other day. She said, Father, I made this for you. And it's a little sheep that she made in the atrium. This is during school. Addie is her name. And I just, you know, think they really do benefit from all of that they're experiencing. I asked one of my teachers, I said, hey, could you give me something I could share with these people, you know, so I'm not just making stuff up? And she said, and she's like, sure, Father. And she sent me 800 words or something like that. This is my head catechist. And she, you know, she absolutely has fallen in love with it. But she even talked about her own family. She said that, this is what she said. For my own family, this method has opened the door for my kids to see Jesus as a friend, good shepherd, and Lord. And then she goes on to say, the other day, her son drew the Sacred Heart in the sand in the driveway. And she said that they had a picture of the Sacred Heart in their house, but they had never spent a lot of time talking about it or meditating on it. But she could tell that he made that connection in his own mind and heart. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, he's 6, who loves me, has, you know, in his heart, is connected to that love, and that he you know, wanted to draw that. I like Father Pat's story. I read another one that's in the book that I have, and it said that this 3-year-old girl, so this is, I'm going to try to top the 4-year-old story. The 3-year-old girl says, she said, Mommy, do you know what that special plate is called that the priest puts the body of Jesus on at Mass? And the mom says, the chalice? And the girl goes, no, Mommy, the chalice is a special cup where the blood of Jesus, it goes during the Mass. And she says, Mommy, can you say chalice? And she said, chalice? And she said, Mommy, the paten is the special plate on that the body of Jesus goes on during the Mass. And you can see that some of these things, they take root really quickly if the environment is right, the content is good, and the method is right. So those three things, you know, method, content, and child, that's what is really great about the Catechism of the Good Shepherd. So I'm just going to leave it there. I'm going to let Father Clay take over. I'm sure he's got a lot of great stuff to tell us.
He's a great appetizer.
Yeah.
Like nachos grande at the keg or something. Wow, it is. I was just looking at all the babies surrounding, which is just why this is so important for your parish, our parish, Native Son, obviously. There's so many more babies than when I was ordained 7 years ago. My dad tells me about how loud it is at church now. So good. Thanks. Make it loud. So I'm down in Winfield, and we have the smallest school in the diocese. So we have 40 kids. Next year we'll have 48, so that's great. But it's just a small little family, and it's pre-K through 6. And so, you know, I love to kick off the homilies and things with just questions for the kids, which sometimes is very risky, obviously. Like the other day on the Feast of St. James, I was talking about James the Lesser and James the Greater and how they must have fought. And I was like, do you ever fight with your siblings? And they had all kinds of stories. One time I was trying to talk about the difference in the way that mom and dad discipline. And I said, what's the difference in our moms and dads? And all the teachers were like, oh, Father, don't say that. I don't know what's going to happen. But the last couple weeks, obviously, we've had a lot of readings about the Good Shepherd. And I ask the kids, what do you know about the Good Shepherd? And it's by far the best answers I've gotten in any Mass, because I know that we have catechesis. So our principal is level 1, 2, and 3 trained. And I didn't know that until last summer when I was doing level 1 training here. And I texted her and she told me, I thought she was just level 1 trained, but she's got all the levels. And so we uniquely can form this little, maybe we're uniquely suited as a small Catholic school in our diocese to kind of rearrange the schedule as we want, with only 4 classrooms, 4 teachers, and a principal who greatly loves this. And so the kids receive presentations all throughout the school year in our school. And so I asked them at Mass that day, what do you know about the Good Shepherd? And we had everything from the pre-K and kindergarten kids who usually just ramble on about stories, who just said, like, I know that he knows his sheep and they follow him, to first and second graders who said, the sheep know the shepherd's voice. Up to the third and fourth and fifth and sixth grade kids who said, the shepherd will leave the 99 and go after the one lost sheep and call him back, and the sheep comes because it knows its father's voice. And so I want to focus on just 3 words that I think sum up my experience of Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, which is encounter, wonder, and play. Okay? Encounter, wonder, and play. The first thing and the most important thing is that this is a place, and the reason why this is such a good form of catechesis, where kids encounter Jesus, where they get to know him. Father Andy touched a little bit on the head and the heart, and there's always been this like discussion, and I can even think about it in my own formation here, especially at Bishop Carroll, where I learned a lot. Like, we had the diocesan religion test in high school, and so we were taught to learn and drill, and we knew all of our stuff, right? And I'm grateful for that foundation that I received here in this parish PSR program and at high school. But I remember Janet Eaton, our superintendent in the diocese, using a story at a pastor-principal gathering where they talked to the college chaplains at KU and K-State, Wichita State, and especially KU and K-State, because they have a bunch of kids from dioceses all over the state. And they said, your kids from Wichita really know their stuff. They've got the head knowledge. But they don't have the heart knowledge as much as some of the kids from Kansas City or Salina might. And that really struck me. It's not black and white and clear like that. I just think that we in our diocese have done a really good job of putting emphasis on learning and intellectual and the head, but it always has to go together. It can't be an either or, head or heart. It always has to be both. And so there should be no separation between what we believe and how we live, right? What we believe and how we live should always go together. And I think that's the heart of what CGS is for me, is that it takes what we believe and it puts it in this format that makes it easily livable and experiential for kids. So I'm going to skip to the last one I mentioned, which is play, which is something you'll see when you tour the atrium here in a little bit, that like it looks kind of like a playroom. It looks kind of like a playground, a Catholic playground. I almost describe it as like a Catholic lab. Like, we as priests, when we're studying to be ordained, we practice the Mass and go experience all these things. But how much more impactful for that to be a part of kids' lives, to be on their level, like these mini altars, these mini baptismal fonts, these great experiences at their level of what they experience all the time in church. And so I can ask them to repeat a ton of facts, and that's great, but I want them to truly know the Good Shepherd. I want them to know who Jesus is, what he's like, how he relates to them, how he loves them deeply, and how they can participate in his life. Like, that's really the goal of our life, is to participate in the life, in the saving work, in the saving mystery of the Good Shepherd. We're not going to be quizzed. We're not going to have a multiple choice test when we get to heaven. We're going to face Jesus, and he's going to wonder, and he's going to know whether or not we know him. He's going to know if we knew him throughout our life, and if we truly can enter into that. So the play part is big. And I really think that's cool, because There's an old phrase in philosophy that we learned way back in the seminary. One of the things that stuck in my head from that was that which is received according to the mode of the receiver, which is a fancy way of saying that people receive things according to how they are. So, for instance, an example would be like the men's conference this year. Men can receive from a Kansas City Chiefs football player, because what do men like to do? They like to watch football. So that's why we brought in a speaker who could talk about the faith because he was a football player, right? That which is received according to the mode of the receiver. Teenagers, that's why people try to relate with teenagers on social media, because that's the way they're taking it. That's why Father Walsh has a TikTok channel. No, he doesn't have that. He doesn't have that. We're not going to do that. But that which is received according. So what is the way that children receive things? I would argue by play. By play, they learn most of the things at a very young age before they can communicate themselves. They learn by play. They learn by interacting with things, by imagination, by imagining the stories of the Gospels, by imagining these parables, by working with these works. And so play is at the heart of what CGS is. And the last I would say is the virtue of wonder. There's these three things that the church holds up as what are called the transcendentals, things that anybody can see, that anybody can value. It doesn't matter who you are, what creed you have, what you believe in. You can see truth, beauty, and goodness. You can understand truth when you hear it. You can see beauty when you see a beautiful sunset. You can understand goodness when you meet it and encounter it in another person, right? And that fosters like this sense of wonder within us at what about that leads me and points me to God, right? It's like a glimpse of heaven. And so I just wish you could picture last summer our priest training. I think there were like 14 of us priests just gathered in the atrium, sitting on the little tiny chairs, afraid we're going to break them, around as they presented these works. And we're just like locked in a new way. Just like Father Walsh said, the precious pearl is the one that hit me too. And several others that just kind of brought out something new in my own prayer life about what my identity is as a good shepherd. And so what could it mean for kids who recognize that they're one of the sheep that's treasured by the good shepherd, that's part of his flock. And so, I just think, just driving it home, I think that this produces the most realistic encounter with Christ that we can in young children. I mean, the arguments are pretty clear, like in every social science and in biology, that kids learn so much in the first, like, they learn like all they're going to learn. They learn a lot of their habits in like the first 6 years of their life, right? And so this is a way for us to start as soon as possible to fill the children in our lives with this mystery of the person who wants to encounter them and whom they're called to encounter. And so just one last story to kind of cap it off from me. And I think it rounds back to what Father Pat was saying. These mysteries that we celebrate in catechesis are the mysteries that are right now in our church year, which is something that I'm definitely going to preach on in the next couple of weeks. The two lessons, so once you do CGS training, once you are level one trained or you receive a presentation, you're able to present that work in the atrium. So I presented twice to our pre-K through second graders this year in our school. And both times I brought in my own chalice and my own paten. And, you know, they go to Mass 4 days a week at our school. So they see this all the time. They understand. They pay attention to what's happening at Mass, but maybe have never truly understood it. And the two things that we did were the epiclesis, the calling down of the Holy Spirit, and the offering, which is my gift back to the Father. Offering the sacrifice back to the Father, which is the mystery of the Ascension and the mystery of the Pentecost that we're going to celebrate these next two Sundays. And I think if a 33-year-old priest with whatever degrees we have can be shaken into a new sense of wonder while celebrating the Mass, while praying the Mass by myself with all these kids entering into it in a new and profound way, that it's pretty clear that the fruit of this is a real, true encounter that puts us right there in the Paschal Mystery, where Jesus wants us to be with him, knowing him, loving him, and serving him. So the Baltimore Catechism is great. The Baltimore Catechism teaches us with our heads that our purpose is to know, love, and serve the Lord in this life and to be with him forever in the next. But I think CGS is where we experience it, where we encounter it, where we live it with our whole life. And that's why I think it's so valuable. And I hope every parish can continue to grow it like yours is too. Thank you. Back to Father Pat. He's the starter and the closer.
Sarah, where are you?
Tours, and we'll have catechists kind of spread out, so if you have questions or want to know more about that particular level, they can kind of guide you. In the very first atrium, we will have a catechist giving a presentation as the children would receive it. So if you would like to go in and hear what the children, like one specific lesson presentation, you're welcome to, and that will be like every 10 minutes. So I don't know. 10 till at 8 o'clock, 10 after, there will be a fresh new presentation that you can go in for. But feel free to mosey around and see what you can see. The first two rooms are level 1, and then level 2, and then level 3 is at the end, and infant toddler is at the very, very end on the right. So,
So Sarah Carter is the thrust behind all of this. She is the one that she and her catechists, you know, make it happen. With the catechists, will you all please stand? Those are your catechists. So thank you, ladies. Thank you. So after I went through with the priest, the level 1 training, and saw everything that they do with the kids, and then, occasionally showing up to the atrium and washing them. And what it has done for me is not necessarily a new one for me, but it's made me like, I better do this right, because they're watching. The kids are watching, and they know what the chalice is, they know what the ciborium is, they know what the paten is, they know what the purificator is, they know what the corporal is. They know all of that, right? And so, they have a hands-on knowledge. So it's like, okay, I got a bunch of liturgical perfectionists sitting out in the congregation watching what I'm doing, which is fine. It's good.
We'll be good servers.
A bunch of servers, a bunch of sacristans in the making. But it's developed. The idea is to develop a wonder, for the mysteries, right? The mysteries of our faith that unite us as a family. And if we can just keep that seed planted. Father Andy is in an agricultural parish, so are we. We understand, why it's necessary to foster and to grow and to nourish. And so catechism of the good shepherd is a blessing for the parish. And my intention is just to continue to encourage it to grow. And of course, we need your all's help for that. I would like to, Stacy, Simon, and where are you, Stacy? You're probably sitting right in front of me. Huh?
She's doing childcare.
Oh, doing okay. So the Alt Society, planned a bunch of goodies and stuff for us. I'd like to thank them for that. And just please help yourself. Stick around as long as you like. Go on a tour, sit, experience, soak in. The stuff that we use is almost indestructible. All right, so. But treat it with loving care, right?
Explore. Open the boxes.
Open the boxes. Open the boxes.
I just had something that I wanted to share, and I've been told by
Pastor Bob. Go ahead.
A lot of catechists here. many hours does it take level one, level two, level three? It's significant amount of hours for their training.
Yeah, for level one, how many hours for level one?
90
hours for level one.
So it's a big deal.
Yeah, if you want to help out, you want to join, talk to Sarah. All right, good. So, let's just go ahead and just enjoy the evening, enjoy each other's company, get something to eat, go look at something amazing and wonderful, and kind of spread the good word. All right, thank you all for being here.
Appreciate it. Thank you.